All right, so the last time that I spoke, I talked about the importance of the words that we speak. And at the beginning of creation, we know that God spoke and he created all things upon the earth. And there is power in the spoken word. And so words that we speak have power. And no matter who releases them, it has power. So, and I share that there are times when sometimes we're too quick to speak and we should be silent. And so life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so we need to be able to never miss an opportunity to build one another up in the Lord, because there's so much power in our declarations. And so when we begin to declare things in the physical realm, the word goes forth and it reaches into the spiritual realm and can do what it has been sent out to do. We need to declare the promises of God, and we need to speak the word of God in every situation that we're in. The word of God silences the enemy. Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success." We talked about the angels in heaven last time that surround us, and how they take assignments given to them and are activated for our benefit. The words we speak are powerful, and we need to speak with purpose. I had been praying about what to share this week and how important, you know, it is for us to walk in the purpose that God has for us and he desires for us. And our mind and our thoughts, this is where the battle is. And, you know, the negative, condemning thoughts, they always keep us in a place of defeat instead of keeping us in a place where we are victors. Yeah. And so we can tell where some people are walking by what comes out of their mouth. So beware. Be careful. People are listening. Our kids are listening. I'm sure you've heard some of these quotes from Joyce Myers from her book, Winning the Battle in Your Mind. I wanted to share a few that just really spoke to me. Our past may explain why we're suffering, but we must not use it as an excuse to stay in bondage. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. That's a good one. That's okay. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. Some people think they have discernment when actually they're just suspicious. Suspicion comes out of the unrenewed mind. Discernment comes out of a renewed spirit. Don't reason in the mind, just obey the spirit. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? The devil will give up when he sees that you're not going to give in. Make a quality decision that you are going to get your mind renewed and learn to choose your thoughts carefully. Make up your mind that you will not quit and give up until victory is complete and you have taken possession of your rightful inheritance. I love that one. Someone once said, God has made us to be depression-proof, stress-proof, offensive-proof, and curse-proof. I like that offense-proof.
That's a hard one.
That's a hard one to. We tend to take on offenses a lot, don't we? Well, God says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I felt the Lord say to me when I was preparing this, he said, I want the women to read Romans 8 every morning before they start their day. And if you can do it for the rest of June, maybe you want to make it a habit to maybe memorize it. My memory's not as good as it used to be, but it's like, you know what? That's where the scripture said that we need to hide the word in our hearts, because sometimes when we're in a situation We may not have the Bible in front of us to go, okay, I need a word, I need something. But if it's inside of us, we can just speak it. And so memorize it. I felt like Romans 8 is an attitude adjustment chapter for our carnal minds. And it puts our minds under subjection to the Holy Spirit and reminds us who we are in Him. We can't start our day without the Holy Spirit guiding us. So read, because it does it. I'll tell you what, it really does put you in check when you read all that. And it gives you confidence because God is telling us who we are in Him. You know, so it's like, okay, now start your day. You know, so it says we are to walk in the Spirit. Just a couple things within it. It says we're to walk in the Spirit, set our minds on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit dwells in us. We're led by the Spirit. We've been set free and we're no longer enslaved because we walk in freedom. This wasn't what I was going to teach on, but as I was typing, it was like He kept filling all these pages. I was like, oh, wow, I'm almost at a page, Lord, and I haven't even started what You want to give me yet. But I felt like this was a prerequisite to our activation in ministry and what He is calling us to do. So the title of the teaching today is Positioning Us for His Purpose. And I always tell you, it's like every time that God gives me something to teach, it always has purpose in it. And I kept thinking, am I going to run out of purpose in my sermons? But it was like God specifically said, I am positioning you for My purpose. So John chapter 6, 63. The word of God is spirit and life. It is living, active. And Hebrews 4:12 says, when quickened by the Holy Spirit, it has dynamic power to impart spiritual life to us. Acts 17:28 says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. So when we get to the place where the Word of God is alive in us and we finally have a revelation of who He is in us, we become confident of who He is in us. And so our flesh, our carnal mind wants to speak, but we need to tell it to submit to the Spirit of God, because we're going to choose to follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit today. And so I started asking God, I said, okay, what's next? And I began reading and studying the word about the mantle and walking in the anointing of God. And so we each have a position within the kingdom of God, and He wants us to be effective in the ministries that He's called us to. And so when I think of the word mantle, immediately, probably the same one with you, I think of Elijah. And so the mantle often refers to one's calling, and it was a physical garment made from animal hair, or it was a cloth garment that was always worn and with distinction by kings and priests. And so when people saw the man wearing a mantle, it represented his appointment as a prophet and a symbol of sacrifice and commitment to the call of God on their life. So we know Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a man who knew God. He walked with God. He was obedient. He was faithful to God. And so he was a man of great faith. And one of the stories, we know that he was going around saying, I could hear the sound of the abundance of rain. But in the natural, it didn't make sense because they were in a drought. And it was a 3.5-year drought that they were in. And he sent his servant on top of the mountain to go and to give a weather report. So for 6 days, he kept going. And he kept saying, I see blue skies. I see blue skies. But on the 7th time, he went out and he said, I saw a cloud, but the size of a man's hand on the horizon. And he went back to Elijah and he told him that. And Elijah said, get ready. Here comes the rain. It's coming. God took care of Elijah throughout his ministry. We know that many of the stories talk about how the ravens came and brought him bread. They fed him in the morning. They fed him at night. I kept thinking, hope it wouldn't be worms, you know, because I was like, no, not going to go there, God. But you know, they brought him bread. So I'm like, okay, I could eat bread from a bird if he brought it to me, you know. But no, not the worms and the bugs. I just couldn't do that. But you know, he did. You know, God took care of him. And, you know, the list of so many miracles that he performed, you know, from God, because God gave him that power. He brought a child back to life, raised him from the dead. And he parted the Jordan. And so the list goes on and on and on. And then we know later on throughout some of the stories that the angels came and they brought food to him. Baked. Angels bake. I wonder if it's an angel food cake, but no, it's probably bread. It was bread, but it was angel food, you know? And so they sat here and they strengthened him. And so, you know, it's just wonderful just to see how throughout his whole ministry, God was always there. He was providing everything he always needed. He went to the mountain, Mount Horeb. It was called the Mountain of God because that's where God had Moses go, and he got the Ten Commandments from there. He had an encounter with God on that mountain. We know the story of him killing the 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. I think, hopefully I say that right. But we know that Queen Jezebel threatened his life. And so he went into hiding for fear of his life. 1 Kings 19:9 says, God spoke to him saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, well, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars and put prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. Verse 11, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak. He pulled that mantle over his face. We know another person that did that. That was Moses. He put a veil because the glory of God, he knew that the glory of God was speaking. He recognized God's voice. And so he put that cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said once again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And of course, he wanted to tell God again. But the Israelites, you know, and he wanted to tell him again the story. But God said, go back the way you came. God was basically telling him, don't give up. Haven't I always been with you? He faced opposition so many times. People were always after him wherever he went to try and to kill him. But this time he was at his breaking point. Discouragement overwhelmed him in his calling and his ministry that he was doing. We call it burnout. So he just felt like he wasn't effective in the calling because he did everything that God told him to do, but the Israelites wouldn't listen. So he was discouraged. We become discouraged. God reminded him at that point, Elijah, there's 7,000 who did not bow to those idols. He wasn't done with Elijah. As much as maybe Elijah wanted to lay down his mantle, God wanted to have an intimate conversation with him in that cave. So sometimes we may be going through stuff that just, you know, this is going on and this is going on and this chaos is going on. God wants us to get silent before him because you know what? sometimes we can't hear God when all this stuff's going on because it's louder than his voice. And I believe that that's what he was trying to tell Elijah. Elijah, I'm not here, but I'm here, and I want you to hear my voice. This is where I want you to be. This is the intimacy that I want with you. So he still had a plan. He still had a purpose. God hadn't released him from his ministry. He still had things that he wanted him to do. And so God encouraged him. So God was involved in choosing, positioning, and equipping Elisha as a prophet. So God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha because he was destined to succeed him as a prophet. 1 Kings 19, 15 through 16. Elijah went and he found Elisha as he was plowing in a field, and he placed his mantle on him. The first mantle placed on Elisha was a symbol of a calling and positioning him for a prophetic office. Elisha stayed with Elijah, observing and learning from him. And they say he was under him for about 6.5 years. He recognized the anointing on Elijah because he left his oxen. I guess there was 12. And so he basically burnt the offering, the meat, gave it away. So he gave everything away to follow the call of God. Not too many people are willing to do that. Sell everything and just to go. But Elisha knew that mantle and what it meant. And so he went willingly. He was humbled. And he was willing to become his servant, ministering to Elijah's needs. In 2 Kings 3:11, he was known as being the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Sometimes we look to others and finding our true purpose and our true calling and forget that God is the one that calls us. And just because he calls you to something doesn't mean he's released you yet. Amen. Okay? He called Elisha, but he sat under Elijah for 6.5 years. So just like Elijah, God might be saying, I've called you, but first he wants us to learn how to be a servant. And you need to sit under the mantle of the person that God has over you as far as your leadership. And so when you've been trained and when you've been equipped, God will release you and put his mantle on you. But God has established a timeline for all of our lives. We have to remember that. It's his timeline. It's not our timeline. It's his timeline. And so God positions you and me with men and women that he wants us to serve right now. And it's important that we remain humble and faithful. And we have to have a teachable heart to prepare us for the position and the calling that is ours. So it's important to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Barry and I have grown up in the church, so we have been fortunate to have Christian parents who brought us up even as little children. So we've always grown up in church. And so we've always had mentors. They've shown us how to be a servant and how to work in the church and how to volunteer and to do those things. And so in high school, I volunteered to work in the nursery. We were going to First Assembly of God in Pekin when it was First Assembly of God in Pekin. And, you know, I volunteered to work in the nursery and with the toddlers. And, you know, I began teaching the children. And, you know, Barry and I, later in years, when we left there, we went to New Life Fellowship Church, and we sat under Pastor Randy Hall, and Mark and Debbie Utick were the youth leaders there, and so we felt the calling of God to teach the junior high kids, and so they were our mentors, and so we sat and taught the junior high kids on occasions Barry would preach or he would fill in. Now remember, I think Barry has shared many times, he was called to teach and to preach as a teenager. He just, not that he ran from the calling, he kind of put it on a shelf and he did his own thing. And so we ended up ministering at my sister's church. And, you know, we were worship leaders there, and we worked with the children, and we bust these kids in on Wednesdays, and, you know, we had 50 to 60 kids. And so, you know, that was a time, and that was a calling. And then when we came here under Crossroads, we sat under, you know, Jim for many, many years. And when we moved to Florida, you know, we were gone for about 6.5 years and then came back. And we, when we knew that this was the place that God wanted us to be, we knew that this felt like home. Little did we know that the mantle of pastoring this church was going to get passed to us. But throughout this whole thing, we didn't ask for this. We didn't go seeking this. And I think so many times we have to remember, you know what? Don't go seeking things, because God's going to give you the desires. Although, I'll tell you what, I don't know. Because a long time ago, I'm like, because I knew my sister being a pastor. I know pastoring is hard. It is a difficult. I mean, it is really, I mean, you have to deal with some people that you're like, eh, go somewhere else, you know. But, you know, out of love. Because, you know, people are difficult at times. And, you know, they're judgmental and, you know, they say mean things about you, and you're like, what did I do? I didn't say that. And, you know, it's a hard place that God has you, but you have to be willing to do that. Even with Elijah, it was hard. It wasn't an easy road what he had to do and what God was telling them to do, but he did it faithfully. He did it anyway. And so we know we didn't ask for it. But the mantle was thrown on us, so to speak. But it had to be God's timing. And when God says now, we need to say okay. And so we knew when he said now, it was the calling that God wanted us to pick up this mantle. And so the hour and the time has come for us to fulfill the position that he had called us to, and our purpose was to be pastors here. God's timeline throughout our lives led us to this very moment of picking up the mantle, saying yes. God will, we are going to wear it humbly, and we're going to be committed to serve you in this position that you've placed us in. I remember having a dream. I was speaking in this dream. I was speaking to a large group of women. And this was probably like 20 years ago. And I go back into my dreams and I read it, and I'm like, I remember reading that, and I'm like, yeah, that's never going to happen, because I do not like to speak. It was hard for me to even get up and sing in front of people. My hands would be shaking as I'm holding the microphone just to sing. I was so nervous. It was something that I wasn't real comfortable with. And speaking in front of people, I'm like, yeah, God, that's never going to happen. And he's like, but Janice, be careful, because when God gives you dreams and vision, he's preparing you. It really is. I mean, you can put it up on a shelf and think, yeah, right. But God's saying, yeah, right. But my timing is going to come. And 20 years ago, I would have never thought that I would be doing this. You know, I remember the first time Sharon had asked me to speak, and I was like, mm-mm. I don't do that. That's not in my job description. I made sure of it, you know. And I remember the time when Barry was in the services, and, you know, the program that we use, it kind of just tells everybody, hey, you're on schedule to be on Pro Presenter. You're on schedule to be on the worship team. You're scheduled to be in nursery or in class. And he had sent me something. Well, I'm always used to just hitting okay, 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 okay. Well, one of it was to preach, and that was on Easter. And then I didn't even think about it. And he's like, oh, so you agreed to preach on Easter? And I said, no. He said, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. I'm like going back going, ooh, I should have read that. Because I had declined it. But I ended up, I said, okay. And so, you know, when Sharon asked me to speak, it's, again, you know, this wasn't something that I was comfortable with. It's not, it's something new to me, you know. But it was like, okay, God, if you've truly called me to do this, you're going to, I have to rely on the Holy Spirit that you're going to give me what to say. You're going to fill my mouth. You're going to make me effective in my speech, that I'll be understood. And so far, you know, God is using me in that way. And I hope I'm getting a little bit more comfortable, but I still get nervous. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God actually did prepare you.
Yeah.
Teaching children.
Yeah, he did. Exactly.
Now we're just big children.
That's true. Exactly. That's true. It is. And you know, everything is a preparation period. That's what the teaching and the training is all about. So many times we want to just jump into something and God's like, no. You know, we have to be grateful in the little things, you know? And so then God will take us to the things and the timeline of where he wants us to be as adults. But you know what? There's so many. We used to sing a song, Little Fat Little Babies. And it talked about the maturity, because so many times we got fat little babies sitting in our churches that are still drinking out of the bottles. And, you know, and it's like, no, you know, God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow as Christians. He wants us to be able to work and be effective in ministry. And so we have to grow maturely in the Lord too. And so, yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that, you know, God's not called us to sit and learn all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's also asked us to hear and do.
That's right. Absolutely.
Part of that preparation is us not sitting in the church letting the pastors do all the work.
Yes.
There's a gifting and a ministry for all.
Yes.
You know, to do. Because that is preparation.
It is.
The next thing, to be faithful in the little things.
It is.
Much more will be given unto you. But people look at platform ministry as that's it. But it's not. You know, Jesus himself humbled himself, you know, and he washed the dirty feet of the disciples.
Right.
As an example of being a true servant of the Lord.
Exactly.
So no matter what comes up, if your pastor asks you to clean the toilets, please help clean the church.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And you know, I'm thankful here. We do have a lot of a church here that volunteers to help. But I'll tell you what, there's many people within the churches that just don't want to help. They don't want to just, you know, If we all, it's kind of like the yoke, the burden. The burden is lighter when we're all in unity and we're all working together for the kingdom of God anyway. And so I advise anyone, if you say, hey, I want to know what I can do in the church, be a servant, because God's going to be the one that's going to promote you. And he knows your heart. So, yeah, that's very good. So God's going to speak to us in dreams. And when he does that, he's going to just give us a glimpse of what he has for us in the future and our destiny. I had no idea. He was showing me a glimpse. And it's like, and here I am. So Joseph knew at a young age through prophetic dreams that God had called him to rule. He wore many physical mantles throughout his lifetime. We know that his father gave him the coat of many colors. That indicated favor. He was favored more than his brothers. He was given a cloak as head slave in Potiphar's house. Joseph practiced servanthood for years before he received the mantle of the rulership that he was destined for. God established a timeline for Joseph. And he has a timeline for you and for me. Elijah tried 3 times, going back to that story, to finish his journey alone without Elisha. And he said, stay here. But Elisha said, and I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 2. He says, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And verse 3 says that the company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, so be quiet. So then they went to Jericho, and the company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Verse 7 said that 50 men from the company of prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, he rolled it up, and he struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? He said, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Mm-hmm. Elisha replied, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and he cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of the garment of his garment and he tore it in two. He tore it in two. Think about that for a minute. As Elisha was being taken up, and I'll explain it, as Elisha was being taken up, the mantle came off and descended to the ground. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And when I was looking at this, and when he tore, I know when back in the Bible times, when they're in mourning and stuff, they'll rip their garments. He tore it in two. What did he ask Elijah for? A double portion. He already had the anointing on him. He had it on him. He tore it in two, and it was a representation of the two, the double portion is what I believe. He ripped it in. It was like a visual representation. I asked for a double portion, and now I'm getting it. So physically, he did it in the natural because he saw it in the spiritual, because that's what he asked for. So that's Genesis.
Yeah, but another thing I was thinking that's good too, was no longer, was it his anointing and his servanthood. Mm-hmm. Now he put upon the cloak of Elisha. So
yes.
Now he's walking in a new anointing, a new mantle.
Absolutely.
Hospice signifies that as well.
Yes, yep, it is. Yep, yeah. It's good. So the company of, I'll skip that part. I found it interesting too. Everywhere they went, the prophets kind of had to remind Elisha, do you know that your master's going to be taken from you today? Like he didn't know that already, you know. But it's like, you know, so many times, you know, people feel like if we're walking into calling, are you sure you heard from God? You know, we got to quit questioning if people hear from God, because you know what? We don't know what God speaks to them. And so we shouldn't be the ones that condescends or questions, because that is not our place, because only God knows the heart of a man. And so we have to be careful. I love the scripture, touch not the anointed, you know. And so we have to be careful and show more love toward one another. And because we don't know what God's doing in someone else's life. And so we have to be careful. So it's, you know, that's just extra 2 cents there. That wasn't in my notes. So when God releases your mantle, there's an action required. You must choose to pick it up. And you have to wear it well. I'm going to say that again. When you pick up your mantle, you have to wear it well in order to fulfill the purpose that God has you to do. Some people lay down the mantle because it isn't what they want to do. Well, I don't want to do this, God. Well, maybe what God called you to do, so I want to obey God. Okay? Sometimes it might be too hard. Well, this is too hard. The sacrifice is too great. There's other people that try to apply their own mantle to their own ministry. And guess what? It doesn't have the blessing or the anointing from God. So I'm cautious with people who come and say, hey, God's called me to do this in the church. Or, hey, I'm supposed to be the head of this. And so usually you have to respect the authority that's in the house too, because God will say and speak to us, and I'll go into this is what I was going to talk about with Patty. But before I say that, many want the position, but they don't have a teachable spirit, and they won't submit to the authority within the body of Christ. That's a problem. God speaks to those in leadership. And since we've been here, God has shown us many people within this body with giftings and callings and talents. And when the timing is God's, he appoints those he wants to position. And I am going to just say this, Pastor Patty, and the elders and the deacons in the church, Patty did not come to us saying, hey, I want to be the pastor of prayer. We knew God was calling her to this. God has been preparing her for years. She is a mighty, if you got anything wrong with you, I mean, you can pray, but man, I want her praying for me. I want her laying hands on me, because I tell you what, when she prays, whew, you know that the windows of heaven just kind of went, whoa, you know. And so when she prays, she declares things over you and she breaks things off. And it's like, whew, you know, she touches God. Her prayers reach heaven. And I tell you what, you know, and we saw this on her. And it's like, Patty, we just feel like God has called you. This is your time to wear this mantle of being a prayer pastor here and making it official. And she was like, oh, you know, but she accepted that mantle. She accepted the calling, because as leaders, we said, this is what we see in you. God's anointed you for such a time as this to do this. And so she gladly accepted it. And I'll tell you what, God is using her in such a mighty way, mighty way. So don't rush the training. Be patient. I have, I don't know if I can remember the calling. Barry knows I am probably the least patient person. I am to an extent. It depends on what it is. But it says that little sign that I bought, because I'm like, this is so me. It says, I tested positive for lack of patience. That's me. And so I have it on my mantle at home, because that's me in a nutshell. So, but God's working on me on that one. I remember as a kid, we used to sing that. He's, you know, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Oh, good old, what was it, Salty, I think it was?
Yes.
Salty Sam. And so it's like, so even at that time, God was saying, Janice, you need to get this inside of you, because when you become older, it's, you're going to have a problem in this area, but we're going to continue to work on this with you. So I'm getting better, but it's still something. But so be patient. Be patient with God, because he's going to put you in a place in your calling, in your position, in his perfect timing. So submit to the authority and the leadership and respect the call and the mantle that gets put on someone within the body of Christ, because God is the one that's appointing them. So they're just being obedient and picking up the mantle. So spiritual mothers and fathers. So we're all spiritual mothers here. Be prepared for a season of training and discipleship. Because when we've been praying for young people to come in here, and we're seeing some. And so we're at a place where we need to be those spiritual moms, and we need to speak into their life, because they have a lot of questions. You know, I remember when I was younger, I had a lot of questions about a lot of things, but I didn't really go to anybody to talk. Other than when, you know, Mark and Debbie Utek, they were really our mentors in ministry, because we're like, we've never done this before, you know, help us, you know. And so they gave us advice along the way, you know. So it's important for us to help and to be a part of what God is doing in people and who he's positioning in the office and the calling. And so we need to be with them and just support them in everything that they do. We need to be able to discern and hear the voice of God. There's going to be times of warfare needed to carry on the mantle that God has for you. There may be times that you have to stop along the way, just like Elijah. But there may be times that you need to hide yourself to get alone to hear what the voice of God is whispering to you. Get in a position to be released in the calling and the season that he has you in. As I was ending this, God began to give me a word. And so I'm just going to read it. But this is for us. And he said, mantles are being released. They have fallen right at your feet and within your reach. Just as Mordecai told Esther, who knoweth but that you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? God has his anointing and his power reserved just for you. You have been on the backside of a wilderness for a long time, and you have been in a place that felt like you were in a cave. You have almost given up because your voice has been silenced. Stop looking at the things that speak so loudly to distract you. Come into my presence and just listen. I long to be intimate and share my heart with yours. I long to hold you and to speak life-sustaining words of hope and to give you a double portion of my spirit. My power is complete and perfected in you. Be patient. I am positioning you in this new season. I am restoring your hope. I am restoring your strength, so that you can stand in my might and power. In your weakness, I am exalted. Get ready to be clothed in my anointing. Get ready to see the signs and the wonders that you have been praying would be manifested and seen with your eyes. I will pour my spirit out as it falls. There will be a shaking in the atmosphere. There will be a sound like that of a warrior's cry as it descends and falls upon my sons and daughters. You will receive power, and it will be as lightning that falls from the sky. Everything you touch and those standing nearby will be affected by my power and the mantle of my anointing that is coming. So throw off the old garments. You are being positioned to pick up a new garment and a new mantle, for my purpose will be clear. I will let you know when the hour has come. So get ready.
Yeah.
So get ready.
Oh, that's exciting. I like that.
The last scripture, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. And that's from Colossians 3, 17, verses 23 through 25.
Thank you, Jesus.
So.